first you loved me and I let you in. Made me feel like I was born again. You empowered me, you made me strong. Built me up and I could do no wrong. I let down my guard, I fell into your arms. Forgot who I was, I didn't hear the alarms. Now I'm down on my knees, alone in the dark. I was bound to your game, you fired a shot in my heart.
Everybody, welcome to GXYZ. It's your host, Christian and Jason. How you guys
doing?
Hey,
guys.
Hey, what's going on?
How's it going tonight?
It's going really well. I was excited to do the show tonight.
Good.
I've had an interesting week.
Have you? Well, do tell. Tell us about
it. I want to talk about some topics, but, you know, when you go through some shit, it's just...
What's happening?
Oh,
well, I don't want to go into too much detail because I don't want to, you know, take up the entire show. But, well, it turns out that over this past weekend I was at Central Market.
Yeah.
And I was shopping, and then I parked next to a guy who was driving a Range Rover. So as I park, he opens his door too wide and puts a ding in my door.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember, now keep in mind that my Camry that I just bought this like back in February, so it's still new technically.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, really? I mean, he agreed to pay for the damages. He was nice about it and everything, but I'm like, okay, then now I'm driving a new car with a dent in it. And I'm just like, it's just, I don't know, it's just really pissing me off. But that's not even the worst part. I want to talk about the state of Wisconsin. If you are listening, y'all are on my fucking shit list. Let me tell you what the fuck the state of Wisconsin is. So back in March, I went to Chicago to visit some family. And while I was up there, I went up into Wisconsin, into Milwaukee, to go visit some extended family there as well. Anyway, long story short, I got a speeding ticket, okay? So I called the lady, and she was like, oh, yeah, your ticket is going to be $250.
Okay.
I'm like, for going 10 miles over the fucking speed limit? So anyway, I'm like, okay, whatever. I can't go to court because I don't, I mean, I live in Texas. So I'm like, well, I have no choice but to pay it. So then I was just like, okay, well, a situation came up. So another situation came up that I didn't have all the funds available because they gave me like a very short amount of time to come up with it. So I was just like, okay, well, I can pay half now. I can't pay, I can pay half now later.
Yeah.
They said, okay, at first she said, fine, no problem. She said, well, if you pay half, we'll give you 7 weeks to come up with the other half. I said, fine, no problem.
Yeah.
So the other day I pay the half, and then I call her just to let her know that they've been paid. And then she says, oh, well, there's been a change of plans. We can only give you until August 5th to pay the other half.
I'm
and
sorry.
I was like, I might just pay all of it now, if that's the case.
Right. It's only like a week away, right?
Exactly. And I'm just like, what was the whole point in that? And I was like, well, you told me 7 weeks, and now you're telling me that I only have another week. Anyway.
I'm sorry. So you got your car got hit, and you got a ticket, and that sucks.
Well, the ticket wasn't anything that pissed me off.
The way they
handled it. She said one thing and then did something else.
Right. Well, that's the way. I mean, you deal with the freaking municipalities. That's how they are. They don't give a fuck. Sorry. They just don't. They don't care.
So, yeah.
It's about that money.
It's all about those Benjamins. Okay, so, sorry.
I mean, at least you have a car. Hallelujah. When you do it.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, but I mean, I went to college in Wisconsin, so I love Wisconsin, but they can kiss it on this shit. I don't. I'm just like, y'all. She is wrong, Denise. If you are listening,
I doubt Denise is listening.
I doubt she is, but if you happen to be listening,
let it
you
out.
Know who the fuck you are, and you were wrong for that bullshit. I just want to let you know
because, all right, but because otherwise, Denise, all right, Denise, we will find you.
Thank goodness you woke up today. Today you got out of bed, a job.
Yes.
Yes, Denise in Monroe County, Wisconsin.
Yeah, but I mean, Christian's right. You got to look at the bright side that you have your health and you've got your car still running. It's not like a major accident. The ticket wasn't $1,000. It could have been a lot worse. So look at it that way. Try to.
I am.
But I know right now you're still pissed, but that's cool.
Yeah. All right, I got that off my chest.
I'm sorry you had a bad week. That sucks. That's too bad.
What about you, Donovan? Did you do anything fun on Periscope this week?
Oh, my God. Periscope, yeah. You know I'm addicted to that thing, and I still have not put my face on there, because I'm all vain and shit, so I will, I just haven't done it yet, but I will. But I did eggs on the phone the other night to show people how to cook those, and
you show people how to cook what?
Eggs a la eggs a la française. It's
did you learn that on Periscope?
No, I didn't learn it on Periscope. I taught it on Periscope.
How many people did you have viewing?
Oh, I don't think it was very many, like 30 or 20 or I don't know. They came and went, but you know, my retention rate was like, I don't know, it was like 30%. That wasn't too bad.
See, I couldn't do that. I get mad
because they keep going away.
Well, where are you going?
It's really hard to keep. Well, first of all, to cook while you're like first thing with eggs a la française, you have to split the eggs in half and split the whites from the yolk, and so I had to do that with one hand. That was fucking impossible, and cooking with one hand is really hard, holding the camera, so that was not fun. But no, I just did it just to be fun because I was bored, and I did it and I was making a snack, so I had that for my breakfast like at 2 a.m. or whatever. But I did that, and it's just so many people on there, crazy fucking people. I'm telling you, I met this guy and California. He's like 21 years old. He's gay, and he's like, he wants to leave. He wants to come out to his family and everything else. I'm like, well, come out. You know, don't waste your time. And I don't know, just all these people. It's just amazing. I love it. But other than that, what did I do? I worked, and that's it.
GS version of eggs.
Yes, French. Well, let me tell you, just before we move on, eggs a la française. The way I even heard about it was on Real Housewives of New York. Okay, because Luann was talking about. She came out and she said, here, eggs a la française. I'm like, what the fuck are eggs a la française? I've never heard of them. And so I looked it up, and I looked at the recipe. I made them. Oh, my God. The best scrambled eggs you'll ever have.
Wait.
What?
How do you spell that?
I'm so glad you said that.
Eggs, E-G-G.
First, you're going to be telling us, and I have to look it up.
I'm going to tell you how to make it, but E-G-G-S, A, la, L-A, française, F-R-A-N-C-A-I-S-E. So the way you make them is you split the eggs into the whites and the yolks, and then you put butter in the pan, and then you put the yolks in first, scramble them up a little bit, not a whole lot, until they're like cloudy. And then you put salt and pepper in the yolks only, and then you put, after the white set, you put the yolks in, and then you mix them all together, and you put a little, just a little dab of cheese on top of whatever, chives or something, and then you serve them. It sounds like nothing, but French cooking is all about the technique. Oh my God. These are the best fucking scrambled eggs I've ever had in my life. And you will never eat them another way after you've had them this way. So that's how you make eggs a la Française. Now, we can move on. What's your deal this week, Christian?
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
What did you do this week? What's going on?
I did a little shopping. It's Dorchester University sale this week. Oh, I went to Austin. I visited one of my friends from New York, so we just hung out and kind of hung around the gay area there. So it was fun.
Oh, yeah, New York. You went to New York or Austin?
No. My friend from New York was in Austin, so I met him there.
That's fun. Austin's so much fun. I love Austin. But do you think Austin's a little overrated or not?
Very.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But it's okay. It has its purpose. It's cool. It's weird. It's whatever.
You've been twice, Jason?
I've only been twice. So I haven't been there enough to...
It's a cool place, funky and all that stuff.
Give it a report card.
But it's not... Everybody's like, oh, my God, it's like the San Francisco of Texas, and it's just so great and wonderful.
I would
like,
say all that now.
Exactly. It's like, you know, whatever. I think Dallas
is better, but whatever. To be honest, I've only been there for work or, like, at night. I've never been there for an extended stay or to do any, like, touristy type things.
It's not all that. Anyway. So let's talk about the main topic tonight, then we'll get on to everything else. The friend equation is what I called it. And the reason I did is because you had mentioned something about what to do when friends approve or disapprove of who you're dating. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. What do you guys think? At what point do you bring in the friend's perspective, and how much does it matter to you? Because for me personally, I don't really bring or introduce my friends into whoever I'm dating, at least until I'm ready to like make it official or like 100% monogamous or whatever it is. But I personally wouldn't bring anybody around that I don't think my friends would be interested in.
You wouldn't bring someone around that they wouldn't be interested in?
Or they would, excuse me.
Oh, you mean like sexually? Like romantically?
No. Like, if I knew my friends wouldn't like the person as a person for me, I wouldn't bring them around because I wouldn't be dating them.
Oh, I see.
Does that make sense?
I think so. Well, okay. So you say that again. You don't want to bring the guy around until...
Yes. If I'm bringing somebody around, mm-hmm. by the time they get to my friends, mm-hmm. I'm going to be like ready to like lock it down as like boyfriend.
Right. I got that part.
By that point, I'm pretty sure this person is good enough for me, so therefore my friends are going to think this person is good.
Oh, they're going to be okay with them. Gotcha. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. What do you think, Jay?
I mean, normally when I'm dating someone, when it comes to friends or my friends meeting them, well, first of all, what I do is I try to make sure to see if it's going to last long enough for them to meet my friends.
Right.
Because I don't want to be one of those type of people that meet someone and then like day three I'm like, oh, here's a person that I'm dating, and then 2 weeks after that they're not even around anymore.
Right. You know? Right.
So I mean, it really just depends on how we mesh as far as me and the person that I'm interested in.
Right.
And then if I see if it's developing into something where I'm like, oh, okay, this potentially work, then I may start off with and two, mm-hmm. and just kind of slow
your way in there.
I hate it when I'm you know talking to someone or where the case may be, and then you know people are just like, oh, I want you to meet my friends, and it's like a group outing where it's like 50 of them. I don't want him to feel bombarded like he's gonna have, you know, just have more of like an interview type thing going on. It's like, oh well, yeah, do this, and me personally, I like to do just a friend or two at a time.
Yeah, and then slowly take it slow.
Yeah, and then you know if they're cool with it, normally just to kind of see what they think about the person. I mean, I've dated people where they're just like, oh yeah, he's pretty cool, or I don't know, I have to study him a little bit more, that type of thing. But so, hey, I'm dating him, you know.
But what is the? Well, go ahead, Christian.
So what do you do, say you really like this guy, and then you bring him around, and your best friend's like, I don't think he's good enough for you, he's kind of snarky, I don't like his personality, do you take that into consideration, or do you kind of sweep it under the rug and keep it pushing because you feel like it's what's best for you?
I personally think that, you know, when you're dating someone, it's about you and that person. It's not about your friend's opinion. And if they are trying to protect you from someone, they know something specific about this person. That's one thing. Or they're, you know, they're married, or I don't know, whatever. That's one thing. But I'm saying they just don't necessarily click with a person. I don't really think it's important. I don't think it's important that you don't click with your boyfriend or not, though, as well as you do, because it's not them dating him. They just need to be polite and say, hey, nice to see you, whatever, and just move on. They don't need to be, like, you know, marrying him or anything. So who the fuck cares? I don't think it matters, personally.
I agree. I'm the same way. It's just
now,
one of those things.
Although there are people, maybe one of you or both of you are that way, that their friends' opinions matter a lot. And I have been the victim of that in the past when I was single, dating, where, and I'm the kind that you have to kind of take, I don't know, how do I put this? I'm unique, and I'm not for everybody. Let's put it that way. I'm very blunt and open. I'm open, outspoken, whatever. And so people don't always respond well to that. And so in the past, and when I was dating and stuff, some people would take me the wrong way or whatever, and they wouldn't like me for that reason or other reasons. And so I would be, you know, shunned aside at sometimes because their friends didn't like me, just because their friends didn't like me. So. Are you guys that way? Is it your friend's opinion so important to you that you would drop someone that you were interested in?
No.
No.
I kind of straddle the line with this just because, like I said, by the time I do bring somebody around my friends, by this point, I probably dated them for like 2 months, I'd say. sounds so dumb. but say, like, I really liked him, and, you know, and I really think he's good for you. He's like 10 years older. He's not really, like, you know, for you.
How do they know what's for you? They don't know what's for you. They know you, but that's right. Your decision, not theirs.
Right, but if your friend knows you better than anybody,
better
and they
than
know
yourself.
Your history and relationships and what's worked and what hasn't.
Better than yourself. They know you better than yourself.
No.
So it's fine. And look, I agree. Look, that they have weight. They have an input, yes. And of course that matters to some degree because of your friends, your family, and such to some degree. And so I
but
get
it's not
that.
The deciding factor.
Right. And I think that's what I'm asking. Is it the deciding factor?
No,
not for me. I mean, if they have an issue with one of them, then, I mean, I'll listen to what they have to say, but I'm not just going to be like, oh, well, my friend said that she didn't like this and this and this about you, or he didn't like this and this and this about you, so we're going to have to call him. No, I'm not that type of guy. I mean, if anything, let me find it out on my own, because I am the one that's dating him. But, I mean, I'll listen to what my friends have to say, but I won't just be like, let me take this into consideration. No.
But my friends have dated guys who were complete pricks, assholes, jerks in the past, and guys I knew were bad for them, and I would say, look, I don't think he's an asshole. And so on the other side of the fence here, I think he's an asshole. I don't like him, but you like him, I'll be cordial to him. I'll be nice to him because I love you, but not, I don't like him. So I'll make my position known, but I would never say don't date him because I think he's an asshole. So
yeah,
I think it's also a generational thing too, because like at my age, you know, with my boyfriend or whatever, I kind of want him to hang out with my people and us to all have fun together. Sure. And I think, you know, as you get a little older and you are looking for like love and you're ready to settle down, you know, it probably doesn't really go into perspective that much, just because you probably at that point are seeing your friend like once, twice a month, and you'd see this person multiple times.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I just think I don't think it's wise to allow other people to penetrate your relationship and dictate what you're going to do exactly. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it is. I think it's fine to take it under consideration, like Jason said. That's fine. That's one thing, but to actually let it rule your love life is just a big mistake, because it's only you that knows what you want and need. No one else really knows it. So. Mm-hmm. You know, and whatever works for you, right? Whatever works for somebody. Like, if somebody's into some guy who's, you know, 30 years older than them, and he really loves him, and he really is in love with him, and you think that it's a bad connection or a bad combination because of their age difference, maybe it wouldn't work for you or me or somebody else, but that person, maybe that works for them, and that's okay.
Do you think age difference is
important?
Something that should matter when you're dating?
I don't think it should matter. But it does matter. But I don't think it should matter. Meaning that people can be a lot older and be really immature, or really young and be very mature. And also, like, for example, I always said when I was like in my teens and my 20s, I should have been born in the, I should not have been born, but I should have been like in my 20s in the 80s and not the 90s, because I connected to people that age range, like 5, 10 years older than me, a lot more than my own age range. I just always did. And so when I would hang around them, it wasn't like any different. Whereas other people my own age did not connect with them at all. So I think it depends on the person, don't you?
Oh, I think so. Like me, I'm 22, but I act like I'm 32. And I have my own place, I have my own car, I have a 401k, I have a good job. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that far exceeds people, most people that are my age, not everybody. And most guys that are 32 around that age range are usually like, they'll, you know, be interested in me because I'm much more mature. But then after it kind of seeps in a little bit, it's kind of like, ooh, you know, we're in two different places in life. You know, you're only 22, that kind of thing.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not a bar hopper. I'm not a bar skipper. Not all the time. Anyway.
I was the same way. When I was your age, I was not a. I mean, I went to the bars and stuff. Up actually, literally, and the funny thing is, literally, the age too is the year I stopped going out all the time. Like between 18 and 22, those are the years I was always going out and stuff, and in college or whatever. But at 22 is the year I just like got tired of it. I stopped going, so I was kind of the same way. But yeah, and I always said, people said, oh, you're very mature for your age, and blah blah blah. I'm like, thanks, you know, whatever.
Right.
But I don't think it matters. What do you think, Jason?
I really don't think it matters when it comes to age. I mean, here's my motto to everything. I mean, if you guys like each other, no matter what the age range is, my thing is, if you like it, I love it. You know, right. That's just me.
Like laissez-faire. Let whatever be will be.
Exactly. That's just how I look at it. I'm just like, if you guys really like each other, and I know a lot of people kind of, well, I'm not going to say a lot of people, but you do have some people that take age into consideration, and
sure,
you know, for some people it may be a problem if one person is 25 and the person is like 50 or something,
mm-hmm,
or whatever the case may be. But my thing is, I mean, if you guys like each other, I mean, who am I to sit there and say I don't like
it work?
Someone that's 25 years older, you know what I mean? It's none of my business.
Will it work? It depends on the
two people. Yeah, do you think it works?
It depends on the two people.
It depends. I mean, it depends on the maturity level. It depends just how well they mesh and that type of thing. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into it. I mean, obviously, you know, I've seen a 27-year-old who's dated a 53-year-old, and they've dated for years, and, you know, I mean, it just really depends.
Yeah, I think it does, too. I think it just depends on the people involved. And what do you think the problem is, though, when people who are, like, you're talking about age difference, what do you think the problem is? You know, people are in two different places, as you said, sometimes. So a 22-year-old, for example, and a 42-year-old, like, a 42-year-old's probably more established and has, you know, right, all that kind of stuff. 22-year-old's still trying to start their career and so forth. So why is that an issue? Why is that an issue, you think?
I think it just depends on the role. I feel like as the 42-year-old, I feel like I want my partner to be more established as well. But, you know, maybe somebody that...
But, you know, there are 42-year-olds that want twinks. They want to take care of them.
That's what I was going to say. I didn't want to say it was like a thing.
They want to be their daddy.
But that's perfectly fine if they want to do
it.
If a 42-year-old wants to take it for 22-year-old, it's his money.
I agree. I completely.
It's his money. Let him do what he wants.
I completely agree.
See, but it's not always about that, though. It's not always about money or, like, submissive or whatever.
No. But what I'm saying is that if they want to take care, because some men that do want to financially take care of a younger person for whatever case may be.
Yes.
But all I'm saying, if he wants to use his money to take care of a 22-year-old, and I'm not saying it's just money. It could be money. It could be whatever the case may be. But what I'm saying is, if he wants to do that to, you know, help out or not help out, but like, whatever the case may be, whether it's with a 22-year-old, it's like, just, it's his money. I mean, let him do what he wants to do.
Well, yeah. I agree. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying that there's a that there's some men who that's what they want, and there's some young guys that's what they want. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it at all. But he was asking if it would work, and I think if those two people know what they want, if the guy wants this, he wants to give a guy, and the young guy wants to give this to the other girl, whatever. If that's what they want, they're on the same page, then it probably will work. If that's
because the thing is, like with me right now, uh-huh. when I go to my next relationship, I want somebody that's more established. And most people that are in my age range
are not
there.
That's why I always liked older guys when I was younger. I liked older guys because of that reason. I don't know, tell me about yourself though, but I did not, when I was your age, I just didn't connect romantically that much with people my own age. I don't know why. I was always five to seven years older or whatever. Yeah.
So, yeah, when I was 17, 18 and dating, I mean, the first guy I dated was, I was 18 and he was 33.
Yeah.
So, I've always been around that age, because I really couldn't really connect very well with people around my own age
at
that particular time.
I feel the same way, but people that I'd say like are 10 years older than me, like 30, 31, 32, they just see 22 years old slapped on my face and it weirds them out. Like I was kind of dating this teacher guy for a little bit, and he kept always saying, you know, I could have been your high school teacher. That's kind of weird. But I'm like, it's not weird to me, but the fact
not
that, a, that like
he's not your high school teacher.
Exactly. You know? But so I don't know.
But that's
whatever.
That's
I don't
something
care.
That's something though.
Screw guys.
That's something that those guys, that's their problem, not yours, that they have.
Oh no, I know. And I don't need no man.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's the friendly wish. Well, so yeah, I guess basically, so we're all saying basically then when it comes to friends and your relationships, whether they approve or not isn't that important. It's just basically mm-hmm. more about what you want to do, or is that what we're concluding? Or mm-hmm. it matters to some degree, but it's not everything and everything. Okay, good. So, Raven Simone talking. Well, first let's talk about Caitlyn Jenner first.
Did you guys watch?
Yes, I did. Did you watch it?
No, I watched it, and because here's another thing. DirecTV fucked around and accidentally suspended my service, so I've had any service since like fucking Friday.
And
then I called them, and they were just like, you know, it was an honest mistake. We got to send someone else. So as of we speak, as of right now, as of 9:28 p.m., I still do not have any cable.
Well.
So,
okay, well...
You are, like, a walking first-world problem.
it's like everything happened to go problems. Wrong this past week, which is just crazy.
Well, it must be Mercury in retrograde. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but to answer your question, no, I did not watch it, but I plan on watching it.
Well, did you watch it, Christian?
Of course I watched it, so we can talk about it together.
Okay, good. We're going to have to talk about it, Jason. I'm sorry.
I thought it was really good. I thought it was done really, really well. It was educational, mm-hmm. but we also saw, you know, Stone notes for Caitlyn.
Yes, I agree. And before it came on, I had people on my Facebook saying, oh my god, I'm not going to watch that. I'm not interested, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why? And I'm like, oh, it's just going to be a Kardashian spinoff and you know, and the same shit the Kardashians do because obviously of who he is. And I was like, I don't think that's the way that she's couching this or whatever.
Which she is an executive producer, by the way.
Well, I'm not saying that. Okay, first of all, it doesn't matter if she's making money on it. It doesn't matter if she's
no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying she's in control.
Right, and that's good. But my point is, though, is that after seeing it, if you ever actually watch it, give her the chance of explaining why she's doing this and everything, you understand her motivations are altruistic and she's doing this for the right reasons. And not just saying that, but you can see that it really is. She's driven by the right reasons, and I just thought I found it to be very touching, and as you said, educational, and also just very similar to what it's like to come out when you're gay. You know?
That's what I kept thinking the whole time.
Yeah, it's very similar. It's different, obviously, but it's very similar, and so of course we can obviously empathize with her for that. But I think she's doing wonderful things. But did you also see in the upcoming episodes how she's criticized by the trans community because she's got so much money and she can look beautiful and perfect all the time because she does, and Versace and everything. And a lot of people in the community, and she even says this, that they don't have money to look like her, dress like her, have the platform she has, and so she wants to bring light and shed light on the people who just average trans people, not just people like herself.
Right.
So that was good. I thought it was sweet.
But then did you also see how Candace Cain asked her out on a date?
Yes, I did. I did see that. I did see that.
We need to see that.
Yeah.
And then also, apparently, Chloe's mad at her. So that might be interesting, too.
Oh, you mean the future episodes? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the whole Kardashian clan, you know, as I said before, I've never seen one episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Of course, I know about them from the press, but I... it was so weird to me to see Kanye West and what's her face, Kim. In Kim. A regular environment, just like
right.
A house, not on the red carpet, not on the stage, not in, you know what I mean? It just was like they were regular people, not that they were, but I'm just saying, it was just a really weird, it was like surreal to me, I don't know why, it just was weird.
Did you think it was weird that, like, all throughout the show, it was so staged, everybody that kind of, like, stopped by, and then they had mentioned, like, that Caitlyn hadn't really talked to them in a while, but they were stopping by because now they just coincidentally are filming this reality yes. show? Like, did you catch that? Was that weird to you, or was that just me?
No, she even said that. She said, well, I haven't heard from these people, and all of a sudden I'm hearing from them, and I'm like... She said, I'm like, but they didn't come over. Some of them didn't come over. Like, Rob didn't come over.
Well, yeah, and I think they will in the future. But
she said, though, she said that she's not sure that they're actually okay with it because they didn't really reach out to her. She had to kind of reach out to them. So anyway, but yeah, it did strike me as like, you know, stage. But that's the way reality TV is, though. I think reality right. TV is real to some degree, but you have to set up situations. So, all right, of course. You know.
Exactly.
Anyway, but so what do you think about, you think the show is going to do well and do what it's supposed to do?
Oh, yeah, I think it's going to be incredible. Just based off the first episodes, there's going to be 8 episodes in total, so we have 7 more to go. It did 2.7 million viewers? In the ratings that night.
Wow.
Which was the 3rd highest rating year behind, I think it was the Oscars was number 1, the like Life on the Red Carpet. And then the 2nd highest rated was the first Bruce special they had aired a few months back. So
wow, that's good.
All eyes on Caitlyn,
and that'll bring a lot of exposure to the issues that trans community experiences. That's awesome. Jason, so you're gonna watch it when you get your cable back?
Yes, it'll be back. It'll be back on Friday.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Friday.
So then you can watch the new episode on Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll try to see if I can find it online or something.
Now, what did you say about Raven Simone? I did see these comments, and I felt the same way you did too, probably, Jason. What did you say about that?
Okay, so, you know how Raven is.
She kind of just says but, things, yeah.
But Raven was on The View, and she was, I'm assuming they were talking about Caitlyn Jenner and, you know, the show I Hate Kate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Raven told audiences that she feels like Caitlyn is moving way too fast. Mm-hmm. And her quote is, when I came out, I didn't go and go hardcore and be like, I'm going to save the world for LGBT. She said, you've got to learn it. You've got to learn it first. And she's not really.
I didn't like that or agree with it. I thought it was stupid.
You're right. And I think that she's referring to, like, talking about all the issues and how before she had no connection to the LGBT community at all. And then how all of a sudden she wants to be this incredible gay rights or trans rights activist. I think that she was just...
And so what? So what if she right. does? She has the platform, and because of who she is, she has the power and the platform to do that, and she's using it. She's chosen to use her platform to bring light to these issues. Just because she hasn't been part of it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Right, and if she wasn't doing this type of thing, now she'd be nailed to the cross for not talking about it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I feel like it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't type of thing.
I agree.
Here's my thing. I know you guys are going to disagree with me on okay. this.
Oh, good.
But I mean, I do like that Caitlyn Jenner has really stepped out and becoming herself, and you know, is letting others aware of the situation.
You're coming in and out. Your mic or something is going in and out. Sorry, keep going.
Is this better?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. So I hate to disagree with this, but I do a little bit. Now, one part of me, I do agree with the fact that, you know, Caitlyn Jenner is. Making the LGBT community aware of, you know,
yes,
those type of situations, that type of thing. But also in the back of my mind, I also feel like it's becoming. I don't want to be rude to say this.
Just say it.
It's almost becoming like too much. because and the reason I say that is because over the past, I don't know, 2 months that this whole transition has been going on with Caitlyn Jenner, mm-hmm. it just seems like every time I turn around, it's Caitlyn Jenner's in the media. So and I understand that, you know, she's making, you know, light of the LGBT community and making, you know, people aware that, you know, this is what happens.
So you think she's overexposed?
Yes, okay. I do.
But she's only been... How long has it been? A month? 2 to 6 weeks?
Well, no, but it just seems like...
But that's what happens. First of all, because of who she is, she's related to the Kardashians. She was Bruce Jenner, a famous Olympian, all that stuff. Of course, when the news of someone like that going from a male to transitioning from male to female comes out, it's going to be huge news, sensationalized and everywhere. And she has a show as well. I mean, it's everywhere. You're right. But... I don't understand why you think that's an issue, or are you just sick of seeing it?
No, I don't think it's an issue. I just think that
you're tired of seeing her ass all the time.
But Jason, you have to remember, it's more so of us talking about her and the media talking about her. All she's really done was the Diane Sawyer interview, then it was the magazine, and then it was the ESPYs a month and a half later, and then now the show. That's
that's a lot. As far as television, but she's always, you know,
blah. Yeah, and I understand it's like a lot down the general public's throat just because we do talk about it every single day. But I feel like if she was overexposed, she'd be, right now, she'd be on Elle, Cosmo. You know, she'd be on the late night show. She'd be on, you know, E! News. She'd be on everything. You know what I mean? And I feel like it's actually very... you know, tucked away. Talk about it.
I think it's well paced. I don't think it's over. Yeah. I don't think it's too much yet, personally. I mean, she may be overexposed by the end of the year. We may be sick of seeing her, depending on what she decides to do or not do. But I don't agree with you, Jason. Sorry, bye.
I mean, that was just my opinion.
No, it's okay. I'm just kidding. No, I just don't think that it's. I think that you and Raven are wrong. So there.
And that's okay.
That's okay. I just don't agree with you, and that's okay. What about Taylor Swift and Nicki Minaj? That whole thing.
Are we still talking about this?
I mean,
I guess so.
I mean, it's just one of those things. Pretty much, Nicki Minaj threw a tantrum because she wasn't nominated for Anaconda or whatever the case may be, and I guess Taylor Swift, you know, I guess supposedly said something back, and she supposedly got upset. I don't know the
full. Something else happened since we talked about it last week.
We talked about this last week.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
The day when it was happening.
Oh, well, sorry. Okay, we can skip that.
That's okay.
So we can close it out, what happened the few days that we were off. Basically, Taylor Swift apologizes. She said, because Katy Perry pretty much checked her ass real fucking quick. Katy Perry sent out a tweet, which, if you guys know, they have, like, lots of drama with each other because of behind-the-scenes, like, tour issues, and Katy Perry, like, stole a bunch of people off of Taylor Swift's tour, and blah, 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 blah. So they've kind of, like, made digs at each other in the media, and Katy Perry basically said, I find it ironic that this person is saying, you know, talking about pitting women against each other when she's got the biggest right now, which is about pitting women against each other, right. Referring to bad blood. So Taylor Swift apologizes, and all is well in the queendom, and, you know, we move on.
Okay. Okay.
But I do think it's important to say that, and like I said prior to, I'm a huge Nicki Minaj fan. I love her. I'm a huge fan. But at some point, you have to wonder, like, you know, as a little girl, you dream of having this kind of platform. At what point does the awards and the recognition become more important than just being a successful touring musician that people love and idolize, which is your dream?
But you know what I mean? I do think, though, that Nicki Minaj has a point, and she's right, and she does.
She is right about her point.
I don't think it's saying that elevating the award above her artistry or above what she does for a living. I don't think it's about that. I think it's about being treated equally, period. I don't think it's about making it the award the centerpiece. I mean, I don't think that's what she's doing, personally.
Good.
I just don't. I don't think it's that at all. I think she's making, the thing about her is she's outspoken and she says what she thinks, right, and she stands up to women.
She's
a feminist, whether she thinks she is or not, she is. And so I think that she's just being who she is, and she's saying, bitches, I deserve my due, just like everybody else does. Just because I'm a black female doesn't mean I need to be treated second class, bitches. You know, that's what she's saying, basically. Mm-hmm. I agree. Mariah Carey getting a star in the Walk of Fame, Jason?
Snooze.
No.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I didn't even know that. I thought she already had a star on the.
Surprising. Walk of Fame. She didn't, yeah.
I was kind of surprised that she didn't. That's all I want to say about that.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. But talking about Mariah real quick, since I know it puts Christian to sleep, but let's talk about it real quick. Do you like her, or what's the deal? I mean, do you think she's changed since the beginning of her career?
Yes.
And do you think she's sort of made a kind of a detour from, I don't know, for me, I like the old Mariah, you know, from the 90s. That's the Mariah I like.
I agree. I like the 90s, early 2000s Mariah.
Yeah. I think she just is like the darling thing and the whole, like, just the bling bling and all that bullshit.
I like she can't We Belong anymore. Together. It's like that, y'all, Mariah.
Yeah, well, that's only like 5, 10 years ago. It was like 10 years ago.
I know, but I'm saying that's my Mariah.
Okay, well, I love that song.
I remember Mariah from Vision of Love.
See, that was the very first single, me too.
Yes.
I was in high school. I remember that too.
I feel like she tried to overcompensate because she's not as successful as she used to be. So now she kind of puts on this air that she's like, you know, so great.
Chantres.
She's American royalty.
Yes. Well, she really has lost somewhat of her voice, though. It's like, if you've heard her sing live and stuff in some of these horrible things they've shown online, it's like, what the fuck happened, you know?
But it's a muscle. I sing, too. It's a muscle. If you don't sing, if you don't use it, you lose it. And there have been reports time and time again that she doesn't rehearse. She doesn't go to rehearsal.
Oh, no, she doesn't. That's one reason.
And plus, I don't think she's touring either, is she?
No.
Well, no, she's our show in Vegas, so she's still singing every night. Oh, okay. But if you're not training, you're not keeping up with your instrument, you know, eventually it is going to, you're going to lose control. Right. And that's exactly what's happening.
Well, I think she's, I don't know. I like her because I like her music. I think she's talented, but I still think she's lost some of her shine. You know what I mean? And then you wanted to talk about Ice-T and Coco?
Oh, I just want to say congratulations to them. They're expecting their first child, which is about 5 months, because they've been together for like 500 years.
That kid's gonna have a big ass.
She does.
No, that the kid is gonna have a big ass.
that is an ass on Coco.
Is that real or what?
No, it's real.
She's like ass shots.
No, she was on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen.
I saw that.
They asked her about that, and she says she does plenty of lunges. She's like, it's 100% real.
I mean, like 20,000 a day, because that is just incredibly huge. That is a big ass. But anyway.
I need some, like, throwback Coco pics to believe that.
Yeah, but they should show us, like, what she looked like before, like when she was younger.
Because if that was the case, she'd still be thick at that point if she could carry that much weight.
Let's see. We need to invest this.
Exactly. Because I'm taking ass shots.
Yes, exactly. She may have shown some. I can't remember, but it was a long time ago. But anyway. Well, congratulations to them. Good for them. That's great. And then poor Bobby Christina died this week at 22
years
old.
That was so sad.
Yeah, and so...
I hate to say this. And she's my age.
Mm-hmm. Was, yes.
But do you think that poor girl ever had a chance?
Come on, who her parents were, no. And she grew up. Did you ever see the freaking...
The show, I saw the show.
Bobby Brown? Did you see that? Okay, that was just the fucking crazy fuck fest, okay?
And not to, like, bring up a bad moment in her career, not to bring up a bad moment for anything, but can we talk about the clip of her singing I'm Your Baby Tonight? Do you guys remember that?
On the show?
On the show.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I don't remember that.
She was
YouTube it. Bobby Christina, I'm Your Baby Tonight. Just YouTube it. Okay. Rest in peace, baby girl. Just YouTube it, y'all.
But yeah, she was with a voice coach.
Uh-huh.
And because she was saying something, you know, she wanted to start singing and get into the studio and that type of thing. And Bobby Christina, I love you, but
she had just been smoking, so she was struggling getting through it. Like I said, did the poor girl ever have a chance? It's just sad. Yeah. I mean, it's really just sad. We're talking about dysfunctional from the time she was like 15.
Yeah.
Well, both of her parents were drug users and addicted to drugs. And
there's been a lot of chatter about, you know, what's going to happen to her estate. But it's come out today that in Whitney's, because it's Whitney's estate, in Whitney's will, there was a clause that if Bobby Christina died before she was 25, the estate would go to Whitney's family and not Bobby's family.
Right, I know. Yes, and that's awesome.
You know, the real thing that it's really sad about the whole situation is that I really feel bad for Sissy Houston.
Why? I don't like her.
Because she has lost her daughter.
Oh, yeah.
She's outlived her daughter and her granddaughter.
True. That is sad. But I still don't like her. I just don't like that woman. I don't know why. I just don't like her. She seems like a bitch. I'm sorry. I just don't like her. Every time I've seen her, I don't like her. And how she was portrayed in some movie, I saw her in some movie, too. She was portrayed like a big old cunt, and I don't know. I don't like her. Sorry. But no, it is sad, though, that she did lose her daughter. That's true. And it's hard for a parent to lose their child, especially, you know, she's still kind of young. And to lose her kid that young, that's sad. It's very sad. I agree.
Yeah. And isn't it supposedly reported that... Now, this is alleged, so I don't know how true this is, but it was saying that, what's the guy's name that she was dating, Gordon, something Gordon?
I don't remember his name, but yeah, what about him?
Okay, well, they were saying something that if she were to pass away, they was going to supposedly charge him with murder or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
I heard a couple things. One thing I heard was that he... supposedly could have tried to kill her to get her money, but he wasn't in the will, so I'm not sure what that was about. How would that have even made sense to him for him to have killed her? What would have been his motive to kill her? You mean saying it was an accident or saying it was for money?
I'm assuming money.
But he wasn't in the will, so...
Right.
He must have known, he was close to their family, that he wasn't in the will. And I heard at one point that they were married, but they never really got married or something.
It's apparently like a common law...
Well, that doesn't count.
That doesn't count.
No.
Right.
Okay, well, so...
But I mean, they are investigating it as a homicide at this point.
Really? Wow.
I don't think it's weird that they kept her on life support for 6 months. I honestly thought she died, like, 3 months ago, and they just didn't tell us.
But they said she's been there for months, hasn't she?
Yes. Yeah, since January. She's been on life support since January. They just moved her to hospice a couple weeks ago.
You know why they did that.
Like, at what point do you just say, like, just freaking pull the plug? Because even if she were to come out of her coma, she'd be a vegetable the rest of her life. And to me, that's, as a family member, a bit selfish. You know what I mean? It's better to just... let her go on and rest in peace and be with her mom and her family than keep her here in a coma for 6 months.
The whole reason they did that was because they wanted to see what was going to happen with the estate. I'm sure that was part of it. Unfortunately, which is very selfish and wrong. But come on, these people are... Yes, it is selfish and wrong, but would you really put it past them? I wouldn't. I'm sorry. I wouldn't.
I wouldn't.
Especially Sissy Houston.
But yeah, but their family is odd, so I have to agree with you. I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's sad, but she did die, and I didn't even know she died. I thought she died long ago. I didn't know she was still on life support. I was like, what?
Yeah,
sad. I did have a question about Madonna, and my question was this. I was on Periscope again, of course, and noticing that people in y'all's age range don't really know Madonna that well. I mean, you're gay, you know him, I know you love her too, but not Jason, but I mean Christian. But how is it possible you don't really, like, I talked to somebody who was like a 21-year-old, and I said, do you know Madonna? And he's like, yeah, I know who she is, but I've never listened to her music. Never heard a Madonna song. It's like, oh, maybe once or twice, but I've never really listened to it. I'm like, so for me, of course, I'm a huge Madonna fan. That's just fucking crazy. But to me, it's like saying, in like the 60s, you never heard a Beatles album. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like,
there are some people who have never heard a Beatles song.
But I don't mean now, but I mean necessarily like in the 60s.
At the time.
Yeah. I mean.
But let me explain.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I remember it very distinctly. The first time I heard Madonna, it was Papa Don't Preach, and my nanny, who picked me up from school, she had like the Greatest Hits album,
Immaculate Collection.
Thank you. She turned it on one day, and of course, the young queen in me was like living for this song. And so then she gave me the CD, and I listened to it. And I remember that was around the time I was maybe like third or fourth grade. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I had never heard Madonna until this point.
Yeah.
And then from then moving on, like early 2000s, That's around the time, like, what, music came out?
Mm-hmm.
Or not?
No, early 2000s was music, yes.
Uh-huh. And then, so I remember seeing that on the TV. But after that, any other time throughout my adolescence, around when I was, like, in junior high was when Confessions came out.
Mm-hmm.
God, and then that was a great album, but it wasn't really like super mainstream music.
No.
And then after that was like, what, Hard Candy?
Yes.
Hard Candy came out when I was like in the ninth grade. I remember that one.
Which sucks.
Miles Away is like mm-hmm. my favorite song.
Oh, I love that song, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then after Hard Candy was Celebration.
Mm-hmm.
That came out when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Celebration was the last one, MDNA. So there was...
That's not the last one. That's not the last one.
No, no, no. But I'm saying like while I was in school.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes, yes.
Go ahead and
I'm sorry. I gotta say, okay.
Promote it. But from what I'm saying is from the time that I was old enough to like be interested in music, she hasn't really had a relevant like radio hit. It's like 4 minutes.
No, that's so not true at all. You are so not right on that. I'm sorry. She's had so many hits since music. Music was a huge hit. The song
itself.
Well,
that's why I remember that being on TV.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The song Music, exactly. The music, the album or whatever, yes. And even after music. Even after music.
Wasn't any big radio hit.
Right.
Is what I'm saying. For the random mainstream.
Right, you're right.
Young adolescents to know.
Right.
You'd have to be looking for Madonna or be around somebody that likes Madonna to have known the rest of these albums that came out.
Right.
Until at this point in my age.
What were we going to say, Jason?
No, I was just saying the last hit that I remember from Madonna is the last big one that I personally remember is Hung Up.
Okay, that was like, yeah, that was from Hard Candy, I think. Hard Candy. No, Hung Up. Confessions on the Dance Floor. Confessions on the Dance Floor, yeah. Confessions on the Dance Floor, which is like 2000 and what? 2007?
Six.
Yeah, six or seven, something like that, yeah. Yeah, so I think, you know, but my point is basically, I'm not expecting everyone in the world to know what I know about Madonna and like be a huge fan. I'm just saying, I don't know, if you love music, you like music in general, to not know her repertoire at all is just nuts to me. Even the famous stuff before music like you were talking about. To not even know Holiday or Material or Ray of Light or whatever, all this shit. I mean, really? So my question is that that generation? I mean, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
But, I mean, that particular generation isn't necessarily like living for Madonna.
No, I know.
You know,
I understand that. But I'm saying, I don't know. Even when I was a kid, I guess I was weird, and I probably was, but I knew the Supremes. Okay, I knew the Beatles. I knew the people who came before my generation. I knew all these people. I knew Diana Ross. I knew the Motown. I knew everything. And so maybe...
Because you knew good music when you heard
it. My dad and my mom both listened to tons of music, so I was exposed to all kinds of music, country music too. And so I think that, you know, I guess maybe I just expect too much from them. I don't know. But so it pisses me off. And so I told him, okay, go listen to this song right now. You know, listen to this album. Listen to the Immaculate Collection right now. And he's like, okay, I will. And he did, and he loved it. So I feel proud.
Yeah, but you have to remember for them.
They're classic pop songs.
Yeah, you have to remember for the average 21-year-old to them, you know, like.
She's old.
It's Lady Gaga.
She's old.
It's, you know, Lady Gaga is who they're listening to.
Right.
You know, it's not
right.
Necessarily Madonna.
But do they know where Lady Gaga came from? Where her influences come from? One of those influences is Madonna. I'm sorry, but it is. One of the influences that there are many people who influence Madonna. And same for like Janet Jackson. Janet Jackson, even, there's some people who are like, oh, she's old. And I'm like, it's Janet Jackson. I'm like, what is wrong with these people? I just don't get it. I'm sorry.
But you also have to remember that Janet Jackson has a mainly older demographic.
Well, that's Madonna, apparently. I mean, it's not...
Exactly, that's what we're talking about. Why? Why is that?
Yeah.
Their music is timeless. It's good pop music. Why is it that?
Right, and I think that's what Madonna was talking about recently when she said that there's a lot of ageism in the music industry. Like, for example, when a major British radio station refused to play her new album, Rebel Heart, because they said she's too old. And all these people called, and these young people too, by the way, in their 20s and whatever, calling in saying, we have Madonna, we want to hear the new album, we want to hear... And so, eventually, I think they recanted, I can't remember. But the point is, there is ageism, and so, as we get older, it's like we become irrelevant. And I don't really understand that. I've always looked at people older than me to learn from them and whatever. So maybe, like I said, I'm just weird. But are you guys like that? Or do you think that people as they age or just become irrelevant?
No, I agree. I mean, I just feel, I mean, people want to listen to the type of music that they are with or currently listening to or whatever they're growing up listening to.
Mainstream.
I mean, yeah, and unfortunately, I mean, Madonna isn't... I like Madonna's music, but it's not getting, like, constant radio play. I mean,
no, it's not anymore.
That's what we're talking about.
Exactly.
So it's like, I don't know. If you don't play the music, that equals to people not really knowing about it, which equals to,
I think that's
just, other stuff. So, I mean, I don't know.
I think it's a shame. I just want to say I think it's a shame. One more thing real quick is the, did you see the male sex dolls? Have you seen those?
No.
No.
There's this article on Queerty about them, and they're called synthetics, synthetics. And they look like real people. I'm not kidding you. They look real, and they're made of like...
Have you seen it? This was like on TLC once, but with chicks.
Oh, no, but these are male dolls with penises and balls and hair and faces. And I mean, they look just like... I mean, seriously, if you saw them, in a picture, you'd probably think they're almost... Anyway, the hair on her chest, everything, human hair. Anyway, but these are real. And so I was thinking, why would a gay guy really need a doll? Because men are men. Pretty much anybody, I don't care what you look like. If you're a gay guy, I don't care what you look like. Fat, skinny, nerdy, jock, whatever you are, you can probably find somebody to have sex with you. So I don't understand why gay people really need a fake doll. Do you?
I don't know. It's, oh my god, I just pulled up one of these online and they look...
I told you.
They look scary.
They're kind of creepy. People
have like fetishes with this stuff. There are TLC shows on this. You need to go look it up.
Like, it's, fetishes for dolls?
It's like a yes.
Yeah, they're $25,000 and up. $25,000.
But if that's your like... thing? That's your fantasy. That's what makes it happen.
I don't know.
You're gonna pay $25,000.
I find it to be really weird, but whatever floats your boat. I'm not judging. What I kind of am, but whatever.
It looks really. I'm looking at pictures. Don't talk back, okay? Very, very creepy.
It is very creepy. I agree. I would never spend $25,000 on some doll to have sex with me. I'm sorry. Whatever. Anyway, and I know it's not about that, but God. I mean, really?
It's about companionship.
Companionship with someone that doesn't talk back to you? I don't think so. It's about a big fake dick. Whatever. Anyway, so do you have anything else you want to talk about before we go, guys? Anything you want to chime in on before we leave tonight's show?
I'll just say, just a little shout out. I don't know if you guys know her, an artist that I'm like obsessed with right now. I worked with her last year, but her album's about to come out. Mm-hmm. Her name's Melanie Martinez. Go look her up. She's really cool. Her album's about to come out. She's got like 4 songs out right now. You'll love it. It's like pop with kind of like a twisted edge.
Melanie Martinez.
Yes, she's amazing. Her new single, Soap, is on iTunes right now.
Soap. Okay, I will check it out. See,
it's
like
very,
music.
Like, gay. You'll love it.
Oh, thanks. You must know me. Okay, Soap. Oh, got it. By the way, I'll just shout out to an artist I discovered from somebody called Broods. Have you ever heard of Broods? Probably not. Great couple from New Zealand, and they have really good kind of chill music. It's really awesome, and they're actually really big there, but just coming here. So Broods, Broods. Who do you want to promote, Jason? Anybody, any artist that we may not have heard of that you might want to tell us about?
There is an R&B group that I just recently... You know, I'm an R&B kind of guy.
That's fine. I like...
There's a group that I recently... just recently found. They're called The Internet.
Uh-huh. The Internet. Okay.
Yes. And it's very R&B soul-like, because I'm a very R&B kind of guy.
Are they, like, young, or is it a group? Is it one person?
It's like a group.
Okay.
It's a group. I know the lead singer is a lesbian. I know that.
Awesome, I love.
But yeah, it's just really neat. You have to check it out. They're called The Internet, just like The Internet.
Okay.
And I know if you just Google them, I think they're called like The Internet Music or something like that.
Are they
that.
On like iTunes?
Yeah, they're on iTunes. They actually have an album out. They actually formed in 2011, so their most recent album came out a few months ago.
Uh-huh.
And I recently found them I was on Spotify, and it was like, oh, if you like this person, check out this person. Right. I never heard of them. So, and I listened to the album like all day.
Wow.
It's one of those albums you can just press play and just let it play straight through.
Well, I'll listen to both them and Melanie Martinez, Ben. Cool. I'll check them out. You only need to listen to Broods, though, whether you like them or not. Just listen to the first song or something. Don't you love it when you find a new artist you've never heard of and you just love their music and you just listen to the whole thing like that? That's awesome.
Yeah, it was like a coincidence because I had gotten an email about Melody Martinez from Atlantic Records last year when she was just kind of like starting out.
Uh-huh.
And I listened to the music. I actually enjoyed it and I've been a fan ever since. So I'm super excited for the rest of her album to finally come out.
Awesome. Well, I will check it out and I will report back to you next week on both of those groups. And both of you need to listen to Madonna's album Rebel Heart. Everyone else listening to us too, by the way.
Ghost Town? No, for real. Ghost Town is an amazing
Ghost
song.
Ghost Town's number one hit, but it wasn't because she's old. But anyway, whatever.
Yeah,
okay. That's all I want to say. Okay, guys. It was fun as usual. Thanks for talking tonight. We'll be back, everybody, next week on Tuesday, 9 p.m. Central. Be sure to check us out on gayxyz.com, also on Spreaker.com. And after next week will be our fifth show. We'll be applying to be on iHeart, and after that, probably a week or two, we'll be on iHeart Radio. So we'll let you know what happens. So, thanks for listening, everybody. Good night.
And then hold on.
Yeah, you have an announcement.
Before we go, I have a little something exciting for you guys to tell you guys. Tune in tomorrow. Check your local listings. I'm actually going to be on the talk tomorrow as the social media at home view. So you'll
awesome.
See.
Oh wow.
Awesome.
Look at you.
I'm going to set my TiVo.
Yeah, set on your TiVo. It'll be fun.
Oh, yay. I get to see Christian on TV again in his pink jacket.
No, what should I wear this time? I haven't decided.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, we'll definitely watch you. We'll see you next time. Bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.